The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. Today is the 15th of... It's the 15th of Sunday.
Yes.
15th of January.
The Ides.
And it is, of course, it is.
Yes, the Ides of January.
And that explains so much. It really does. You have, for the third time.
Yes. It's
not gone insane, but.
Yeah, I feel like I'm close to it, though. Boy, you can tell by my voice. It's another round of this winter cold that just keeps hanging on.
You're dipping into base territory, honey.
Yeah. I mean, waking up in the morning and I'm speaking at a lower pitch than I can even think.
Can you sing Old Man River?
There's a better song for to really show off a good low voice. And that's, many brave hearts are asleep in the deep. I couldn't do that, a week ago. So,
oh, yeah. Well. Many brave hearts are asleep in the deep. I could do it.
So, yeah, there was a time when you were suffering from the cold that you were singing lower.
I sang a lot lower than you did at that time.
It F below bad. Middle C,
but,
which was.
Lord love you, honey. You've had it two more times since I had it.
Coming in waves, it seems.
It is about once a month.
Period back in December where we had all of the singing that we were doing for the barbershop choruses, Christmas benefit concerts, and the quartet was singing Sunday morning special music. And so the one good thing, though, is that even though my speaking voice, my regular voice is affected, that all it does then is effectively pull the range, the bottom end of my falsetto range down, which actually helps me to sing the tenor part in the quartet. So that's not such a bad thing. But it is somewhat frustrating because of all of the fatigue and the coughing and so on. It's
And having to re-record things, because the truth is, you may have picked up on it, but there's been an edit right before this.
They would never have noticed.
No, they never would have noticed. And I probably shouldn't have said a word, but Sam says that I have to be honest in all things. Oh, well, let's just forget all about that illness. We have no idea how long we're going to talk today. No. We have asked for prayer, PID Radio Cafe, for just the fact that, honestly, other than physical weariness, we're starting to get just spiritually weary from looking at the darkness, peering into darkness, day after day after day after day, and the many other things we're doing. And, of course, you're driving all over creation. All over Illinois.
The southern half of Illinois, anyway. But, I think more than that, there's a – we've been – you're kind of wondering how many ways
Up on 7 years of
That's
doing
right.
this.
In March of this year, it'll mark 7 years of doing PID Radio, and then, a view from the bunker as sort of an adjunct to that.
So we've interviewed lots and lots of people. We've talked about, frankly, I think probably, I don't know, maybe 30 different topics over and over again.
Yeah.
And some of those are extremely important, and what we cover a lot of times, frankly, on PID Radio anymore is the news of the day. And for that reason, I kind of hate to leave it behind, because the news is going to continue happening.
Yeah. And this year is kind of a year that we...
It's a benchmark year.
...wanted to look at. And so while we were... We may take some breaks, or at least may not post on a weekly schedule as we... want to make sure mainly we want to make sure that every time we do a program, we have something to say, and we're not doing a show just because 7 more days have clicked by on the calendar.
Yeah. Now, we did not do a show last Sunday. We had company last Sunday night, and then Monday, I think we were just tired.
Yeah.
We looked at each other, and I said to you, I said, I just don't know how long I can do this because I'm just getting physically, I'm spiritually weary. I was feeling so like there was a big weight on my shoulders last Monday. Just needed to get away from it for a while. So I took the week off, didn't do a whole lot on the internet, and I feel better for it. I'm kind of losing my voice because I haven't, for some reason, I'm dehydrated right now, and it's really affecting my voice, but I'm full of food. Got muffins in my belly.
Well, that's there's a plus there.
I know.
Homemade muffins, by the way, which were delicious.
Oh, thank you, honey.
But yeah, and I think it was good that we reposted the interview with David Duncan about the what he called the New World Order scam, because that is one aspect of the year 2012 that we want to keep in the back of our minds and yours as well. Dave, we've not heard from him in quite some time. And in fact, there's some evidence to suggest that Dave is now home with the Lord.
Well, we mainly that evidence is lack of response. We've sent many emails to him and gotten nothing back. So
the phone has been disconnected. So yeah, things like that.
It is possible that Dave has either gone into hiding or he's moved and who knows. But we love Dave. We know he still loves the Lord wherever he is, if he's on earth or if he's with Jesus. Either way, he's loving the Lord. And he lived a very interesting life when he was younger. He thinks he saw a UFO when he was really, really young. Mm-hmm. He's convinced of it. From that age on, about age 11 or 12, he was extremely interested in the occult. His parents sort of encouraged that, and he ended up as a young man, 18, 19 years old, wandering the Haight-Ashbury district of L.A.
San Francisco. During the Summer of Love, and getting involved with a group led by a guru who called himself Alan Michaels, not his birth name, but that's what he goes by. Long story short, essentially learned of a what appears to be a plot to blame Christians for all that is wrong with planet Earth at some point. At the time we first met and talked with Dave, it was during the Bush administration. And, President Bush had embarked on our military adventures in Iraq and Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. The world was beginning to complain about this. It clearly was not popular in the rest of the world or among the more progressive segments of American society. And conservative Christians were being blamed for electing President Bush to the White House. And Constance Cumby has done some very good research on this too, and has been warning about this for many, many years, going all the way back to her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, in which the New Age movement, which puts forward a very gentle and loving, if perhaps maybe a bit naive face about how we're all one and we should all get along and love will conquer all. And but when you actually dig into what they believe and what they teach, there is a belief in the New Age movement that at some point humanity needs to shift to a higher plane.
And this
evolution
is what John Major Jenkins believes also. He looks at this not as the end of the world, which of course it isn't.
Right.
Even the Maya themselves, if you read what they actually wrote about this time, astronomically, that we're going into the age of the fifth sun, I think is what they call it. But John Major Jenkins believes that this means that we're going to go through a phase of sifting, that those who don't make it to the next level are going to be sifted out.
Right. Barbara Marx Hubbard has said as much. She's considered one of the leaders of the New Age movement. So, and by sifting, what they mean is that those Christians who would otherwise hold humanity back from achieving its destiny, this next step in our evolutionary progress, will have to be done away with. So that is part and parcel of what Dave Duncan called the New World Order scam. So I hope you had a chance to listen to that. And we encourage you to go back and listen to the interviews. The interview that I did with Constance Cumby at A View from the Bunker, or track down her her website and her internet radio program that she does, in which she talks about this quite at length. The New Age movement is not as kind and loving as the public face it puts out there. It has its apocalyptic eschatology.
Yeah.
Just as Christianity does, the difference being that our eschatology comes directly from Jesus Christ.
Amen. Can't get any better than that.
So,
If you have not, by the way, listened to last week's show, the Best of PID Radio with David Duncan, please do so. And also, did you link to the backup of his New World Order scam?
Yes.
Read through that. You know, it's sort of wandering a bit because he's essentially reminiscing about things, but they're all important. Mm-hmm. It's really important that you follow him as he goes through the journey of telling you what it was like when he was in Haight-Ashbury and what it was like with this group of, and in some of those areas, you get the feeling that nostalgically he's looking back and remembering this almost fondly, but you know, many of us remember fondly things that we did when we were younger. But it doesn't mean that we haven't grown and matured since then. Dave Duncan realized he realizes mm-hmm. that at that age in his life, he was involved with some really messed up people who were doing drugs constantly seeking, and he was doing DMT. Back then, he was constantly trying to elevate himself to the next level of consciousness. And in fact, he believes that this guru, that Alan Michaels, actually channeled Satan one evening.
Yeah,
Lucifer.
Manifested as Lucifer, yeah. In fact, we did an interview also with Dave Duncan called The Year 2012 Scam.
Yes.
I'll put a link to that in the show notes. In fact, I'm remiss for not having done that last week with the New World Order scam, which was the title of his first article, but the follow-up series of interviews we did was the Year 2012 Scam. And so, you know, coming back around to, you know, our ponderings and prayers over, you know, how to continue PID Radio and A View from the Bunker, the one thing that we do feel is kind of important is to, you know, be around at least through this year in some form, just because of all of the misinformation and disinformation that's coming to us from the New Age movement.
Oh, exactly. As tired as we are, it's really clear to us that we need to stay here, at least through the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
in some form or another. Because you know what? We found out, and we won't name them, but I know of two other shows similar to ours that are calling an end two things. One has already ended, the other one's coming up soon, and mm-hmm. and I think it's the same thing, that many of us were just so tired.
Yeah, and I think motivated by a similar desire not to do a show just for the sake of doing a show.
Right.
I mean, the show has never been about us, and I would say that these other, you know, brothers in Christ feel the same way. The show is not about them.
Exactly.
But about bringing information that's valuable. And, you know, the Lord may be leading us in other directions for bringing forth information, whether it's writing or, you know, public speaking, you know, who knows? So
not with the voices we have today.
But yes, but not today. So meanwhile, as we head into,
speaking of news,
yes, plenty going on out there. There was another, one of the most difficult professions to get life insurance for these days must be, Iranian nuclear physicist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially if you have to drive to work.
Yeah. There are four now Iranian scientists who've been ambushed on a morning commute. There was one who died this past week in Tehran.
Four of them?
Yeah. This.
I thought this was only the third. There have been four?
According to Time. Okay. This is from the article
Time magazine. That's.
And the lead of the article reads as follows, quote, like three previous Iranian scientists ambushed on their morning commute, the latest nuclear expert to die on his way to work was a victim of Israel's Mossad, Western intelligence sources tell Time, end quote. So he would be the fourth that Time is saying or is attributing to Mossad. Now, the United States took the somewhat unusual step of this past week, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta flat out saying the U.S. had nothing to do with it. We don't know who did it. We have some ideas, but we don't know for sure. All I can tell you is that we didn't do it.
We don't know. There's nothing going on. And the fact that I'm speaking to you from my bunker should indicate nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, the Israelis haven't openly claimed credit for the car bomb that claimed the life of Iranian nuclear scientist Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan. But, I think that would be a pretty safe guess.
And the fact that Austere Challenge has been canceled has nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah. Now, Austere Challenge was the joint military exercise between the United States and Israel that was planned for this spring, I believe. And it was intended as a missile intercept exercise. It would have involved many American soldiers on the ground in Israel as part of this exercise, which would have made this kind of unique. And in fact, some 9,000 American soldiers have already been deployed to Israel, which is, you know, not being an expert in
that seems
not
like
a military expert, but it does seem a bit unusual. It's interesting when you read different news sources, and we try to read a variety of sources so that we can kind of triangulate on the truth, because different media outlets have different editorial perspectives. Debka is an Israeli news source that has, or claims at least, intelligence sources.
Press TV is an Iranian news source that I sometimes look at for another viewpoint.
Right. And
Arutz Sheva, I look at that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Debka flat out says that austere challenge was canceled because of a disagreement, a fundamental disagreement between the United States and Israel over how to confront Iran's nuclear plans. The Jerusalem Post reported the same story that the exercise was to be at least postponed, but didn't mention anything about this difference of opinion over Iran until about the second to the last paragraph, and was a little more circumspect and said it's possible that a disagreement over how to confront Iran may have contributed to discussions on delaying the exercise. So they sort of hinted at what Debka just comes right out and says.
Well, it's not coincidental, I don't believe, and I don't think Debka believes it either. The Foreign Policy magazine has come out with a revelation that dates back to the Bush era about a false flag event with the Mossad and the CIA.
Yeah, and this was reported by Foreign Policy, and then the story picked up by major media around the world, the Daily Mail in the UK, for example. The headline, Israeli intelligence agents posed as CIA to recruit operatives against Iran's nuclear program.
If they did this back in 2007 and 2008, why sit on it until now?
Yeah. Yeah. Foreign Policy, which, of course, is the official publication of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Exactly.
Yeah, bear that in mind. They published an article on Friday, which we'll link to in the show notes at PIDradio.com, that cites a number of memos from the CIA that detail this operation. And apparently, agents of the Mossad posing as CIA agents recruited members of a Pakistani terrorist group called Jandala to engage in operations against Iran, inside Iran. Now, again, according to the Council on, or according to Foreign Policy, when President Bush found out about this, he went ballistic. And when Barack Obama took office, he scaled back the cooperation between American intelligence and Israeli intelligence, specifically on programs that were targeting Iran. Now,
slapping Israel's hand.
Exactly. But if this information was known to the American government during the Bush administration, the fact that this is now leaked to the press and leaked by the official publication of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes, and that's the big thing, because it could have been leaked many other times, because there have been many stories in the news since Obama took office about his apparent, let's just say, disdain for Israel.
Yeah.
Times when he's really dissed Netanyahu when he has shown up for a meeting.
Right.
What was the one where he was sneaked into the back or something?
Yeah, not treated with the respect you'd expect.
No, not treated with very much respect at all. And so there are many times that this could have come out to explain Obama's behavior.
Yes, right. And to justify it, right.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen. In fact, instead, they waited until the news this week of the assassination of the Iranian nuclear scientist.
Mm-hmm. And I really can't talk. Let me get someone else to come in here and talk. Ahmadinejad said that he was going to send a letter to the United States. Actually, he did. Ahmadinejad did send a letter to Obama. And he doesn't do this often. I think if he's only done it one other time. I don't know if he sat down and actually typed it, or if he had someone, you know, write it for him. essentially blaming the death of this scientist on the United States because they claim Iran claims that they have evidence that the U.S. was behind it.
Yeah, yeah, and that.
So is it one of our CIA agents who's working for Israel?
Well, don't know, or in Israel.
It's very complicated.
Yeah. And now, according to Reuters, by the way, this was the fifth assassination in 2 years of an Israeli nuclear scientist. Not
good
fourth,
heavens, will the they get their numbers right?
It's a fifth attack of its
this
kind
this morning
in 2 years.
It was three, now it's four, and now it's five.
Yeah, this according to Reuters, a story published yesterday. And again, just not a very safe career to have right now, being a nuclear in the nuclear program in Iran.
Now, by the way, speaking of Foreign Policy Magazine, if you go to foreignpolicy.com, you'll see that some of the headlines of articles that they have, one of them is, let's see here, The Myth of Europe. Hmm. Interesting title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, The Myth of Europe. Well, Europe, does it exist? I don't know.
Well, there's something there, but let me just tack on one final point here before I forget
away.
My thought. Yeah, because I'm struggling to hang on to ideas here before.
I'm struggling to stay awake. Are you kidding?
the idea that Israeli intelligence would pose as CIA operatives to recruit terrorists to work inside Iran is, if true, and apparently it is. Appears to be intended to get the United States and Iran into a fight.
Yes.
Like a kid on the playground who, says to two other boys, let's you and him fight. Israel obviously would, in any conflict, would really benefit from having the United States in his corner. And if they can convince the Iranians that the United States has been behind these five assassinations, or even one, and goad Iran into some sort of stupid military act against American assets in the Persian Gulf, for example, that would draw the United States in. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously Iran or Israel is in much better shape than if Israel is trying to face off against the Muslim world all by itself.
You know, what would be really wonderful is if Israel would turn to God. If they'd literally look to Jehovah and ask for him to fight for them.
Yeah.
Instead of looking to the United States.
Yeah, you think they would have learned that lesson back in the day when they were sitting, they were told, don't depend on Egypt. Egypt is a broken reed that pierces the hand of he who leans on it. Yeah,
well said.
So, but that's not likely the case. Now, back to Europe.
Back to Europe.
Yeah, I think that the situation there is...
It is really bad. In fact, I would say the Italian ship that is pretty much sinking, the cruise ship, well, that's Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a metaphor for Europe.
And it's really curious that, curious perhaps not the right word, but I mean, it looks as though the Germans in particular are trying to accomplish through economic means what they could not accomplish militarily.
Yes.
70 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That this whole plan to draw the nations of Europe into the Eurozone and coerce them through financial strong arm tactics is to place them under the political control over a group led by Germany. I mean, Germany is the most powerful economic force inside the Eurozone.
And economically, yes, they are relatively solvent, but they're not solvent. Germany is trying very hard to stay afloat, so to speak. But they have their own problems. And if the euro goes down, I think that Germany has a backup plan called the mark.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think the Brits at the end.
Wouldn't it be ironic if the mark of the beast is literally the German mark?
The Deutschmark.
The Deutschmark of the beast.
And I think at the end of the day, the Brits will be glad that they did not join the Eurozone, that they hung out of the pound.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think that they're going to look brilliant when everybody else is dying. Mm-hmm. We do know that if you take a look at the book of Revelation, that there will be a group of nations that band together. And it may be, you know, what we're currently calling the EU. It may be something bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they'll start out to be 10, and three of them will be plucked up. Am I remembering that right? Because, I'm sorry, let me look at that while you're looking at something else, because I want to make sure that I am.
Yeah, just looking at, because I traveled a couple of days this week and was busy, I didn't have enough time to really follow up on the news from a couple of days back that Standard & Poor's has now downgraded debt ratings for 9 Eurozone nations, France plus 8 others, including Spain, Italy, and mm-hmm. Portugal, the ones that we've often talked about as being the weakest among the Eurozone.
Yes, the pigs.
Germany did retain its AAA bond rating. But
I was talking about actually is from Daniel 7. Which corresponds in many ways with the book of Revelation. If you read Daniel and then the book of Revelation, you're going to learn a whole lot. Daniel 7:7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake into pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns.
Mm-hmm.
I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, this is the Antichrist, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things.
Hmm.
That is, 10 nations will rise up and replace the old. This is in the, let's see here, we've got, this is the vision of the beasts. First was a lion, had eagle's wings. 4 great beasts coming up out of the sea. The second one is a bear, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between the teeth of it, and then the third one is a leopard, and then the fourth one, of course, is that it's exceedingly dreadful and terrible. These are world, one world governments, essentially. World governments like Greece and Rome and this last one is so terrible that it consists of 10 horns, 10 main regions, or 10 leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, later on we find out that there are 10 kings who do not yet have a kingdom. And these are the same things, I believe. And the Antichrist is going to come along, and he's going to get rid of 3 of them.
Hmm.
Now, if you say that there are literally 10, then the Eurozone doesn't quite fit yet.
No, that's true.
They may be pared down to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be that there's a world government that's going to be parceled out after the Europe and the United States and most of the West and even China fail.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, it's, the temptation is to try to read into prophecy the things that are happening in the news.
Exactly.
And it was even, as you were reading that prophecy, it even crossed my mind to think, okay, you know, 2 Eurozone leaders have been replaced without election here in recent weeks.
Oh, that's true.
But I don't know if really is quite the same imagery, being plucked out. I don't know if that's quite the same thing. We have to be cautious, I think, to try of trying too hard to read headlines into prophecy.
We really do. But God gave this vision to Daniel, and it has literal fulfillment.
Yeah.
And when I say literal fulfillment, I mean that sometime in the very near future, we are going to see a world government where there is a great leader, the little horn, who rises up, the Antichrist, and he will tear down some of the leaders of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he will shape it according to his plans. And, of course, his plans are those of the enemy, Lucifer.
That's okay.
Wow!
the nine nations that were downgraded by Standard & Poor's, again, include France, Portugal, Italy, Spain, also Austria, which is interesting, Slovenia, Slovakia, Malta, and Cyprus. Those are the ones. Italy was dropped from A to BBB plus, which is borderline junk bond. France and Austria both downgraded from AAA to AA plus.
Well, but, I think only the quantitative easing, so to speak, that is taking here place in the United States, there's this mask that the economy is wearing worldwide, yeah. You know, trying to keep you and me and all of our listeners from knowing how bad it really is. I mean, I go to Walmart and I see prices rising, but they're not quadrupling, which is what they should be doing.
Yeah,
I don't want them to.
No, but for the amount of money that's really in circulation out there, and a lot of it's not in circulation, it's being held in bank vaults.
Yes.
But for the amount of money that exists out there, there should be inflation. Mm-hmm. And if and when that money ever is put into, or really put into circulation, then things may take off like, well, 1930s Germany. And this, as we look at the political dog and pony show that's taking place here in the United States, especially right now with our marathon presidential nominating process. You know, please,
3 years of...
Can we just have...
So it's constantly running for office.
Yeah, can we just have the primaries all in one day? No, because there's a lot of money to be made by selling...
Exactly.
...hotel rooms and restaurant fare to reporters and campaign managers.
And selling
and
ads.
And selling ads in the media, sure. Yeah, the media makes a lot of money off of... campaign. So you're never going to get Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, the early primaries to agree to have them all on one day. That just won't happen. But we just need to remember that there is not going to be a political solution to every problem that faces us out there, especially as Christians, as we look at the social ills that we see growing around us, because they at their root, at the heart, those problems are based in the human heart, sin, and you're not going to find a political solution to those kind of problems.
No, and this we need to take a total left turn and get away from politics for a minute, because that just drives me crazy. Politics. But sadly, if you look at the Book of Revelation and Daniel and many of the other prophetic books, you see a lot of politics in there, because that is how the enemy is primarily striking at us. But he also uses illness to strike at us.
Yeah.
And I think the article that you posted at PID News at Facebook this afternoon, and I think I posted a similar article a few days ago, about these children in New York, these young women, 12 of them, who have started to exhibit Tourette's types of symptoms, and nobody knows or nobody's telling exactly why.
Yeah. The town is Leroy, New York, spelled like the name Leroy. And these girls all attend the same school. This is manifesting in physical tics, and parents are very upset because they don't feel as though they're getting information about what is wrong with their daughters. What's really unusual is that Tourette's or these sorts of physical tics typically, or rather, are more likely to manifest in boys than
exactly.
in girls
Tourette's
by about a 4-to-1
exactly.
margin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this makes no sense. This is exhibiting only in women in this school. 12 of them in this school district, and for 12 to develop a neurological disorder that is the same thing all at the same time, that's just something is causing it. It's either something that is they're eating, something they're consuming or breathing in, something they have been given in an injection.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, that is one thing parents have been told, is that, you know, we're not sure what's causing these symptoms in your daughters, but we're sure it's not the Gardasil virus. It's not. Don't look at the Gardasil virus. That
don't even talk about it. Don't even think about it.
So this has been going on for some months. This started to pop up back in November. One young lady, 17 years old, has been so affected that she cannot even, she can no longer drive, and she's not able to attend school anymore. She's got to be tutored outside of school because these physical tics, these muscular contractions and jerks are so severe that it makes going to school impossible. And it's bizarre what's being put out there as possible solutions. The Buffalo News says that one local expert in the field of movement disorders stated Thursday that what most of these girls experienced is likely the result of mass hysteria. There is no evidence that mass hysteria even exists, and yet
that's just crazy.
Sure,
but the fact that it's all women, all young women,
yeah,
tells me that There's got to be some kind of a connection there that only young women would have.
Mm-hmm. So
let's look at Gardasil.
Well, you would think. I mean, at least that is one. We don't know.
We don't know that they've all had Gardasil. They're not admitting it. I think the parents have been told not to talk to the press.
Yeah. So anyway, Leroy, New York, kind of a bizarre situation there. What else we got going on? Oh, kind of the Russian Mars probe. Yet another Mars probe has failed. Although this one didn't even get as far as Mars. I mean, usually when
it's coming back.
It's come
down.
It
didn't even make it into orbit.
It's down.
Did it come down?
Yeah, it fell into the Pacific Ocean, Russian officials said. This was the Phobos Grunt probe, which was the heaviest and one of the most toxic space derelicts ever to crash back to Earth. No reports of injury or damage, though.
So we've only poisoned the Pacific Ocean. Toxic.
Debris zone about 775 miles west of Wellington Island in the South Pacific. Reentry took place about 12:45 this morning Eastern time. That would be GMT minus 5. So, at least when American Mars probes fail, they fail, on Mars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, at least that's what we're told.
The Martians shot them down.
Gosh. Well, the good news is if you wanted to read about this on Twitter, you could do so wearing your cool 3D video screen glasses, which overlay not only GPS into your field of vision, but also stuff from the internet.
Twitter's in 3D?
Want to read your email? Want to read your tweets? Want to read your email? Not in 3D. Sorry.
Did I
say 3D? Well, they look like 3D glasses because
the guy
in the picture has one eye that's green and one that's blue.
I see.
It looks like 3D.
So the actual he's actually reading tweets and emails on the inside of his glasses like they're projection screens.
Yes.
I see. Okay. All right.
See what I mean?
Yeah. You know that was one of the technologies that was in a novel that I've mentioned a couple of times now called Accelerando by Charles Stross, Stross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that's that far removed. That technology, I'm sure, already exists for a number of
We've seen it in a lot of movies. And, in fact, it does. It's a military use right now and probably spy use as well.
Sure.
But this will go into consumer hands or consumer eyeballs pretty quickly here, I would think. And you watch. If they've got it on glasses, eventually they'll put it on contact lenses.
Well, I was thinking that very thing. Yeah. So, student, that's going to be really, really difficult for teachers to catch students cheating in the future. Are you wearing your Wi-Fi contacts? No, I'm totally not. Yeah.
Are you watching the game while I'm teaching?
Woo! No, no.
No. Speaking of games, poor Tebow.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't, to be honest with you, paid a whole lot of attention to Tim Tebow this year. I mean, I listen to sports talk radio, among other things, while I'm driving around every day, spending anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day in the car.
A struggling team get a lot further than they would have otherwise. At least that's how it appears. And he has, and this is why I like Tim Tebow. He has stood up for the Lord.
Right.
Stood up for his faith in Jesus Christ. I don't believe for one minute that God has said, you know what? I love those Broncos, and I want those Broncos to win every time, and I want them to go all the way to the Super Bowl. And that somewhere along the line, because a bunch of witches in New England got together and said, we're going to cast a spell against Tim Tebow, that's why suddenly God's team didn't make it.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I'm not so sure that the Lord really has a favorite team.
No.
I think he lifts people up that are lifting up the cross of Christ. And sometimes it's on a team like the Broncos. Other times it's, maybe it'd be
in
the
quieter
Colts
ways, who knows?
One day. Or the Bears.
Yeah.
See, the Bears.
I mean, Lovie Smith is a Christian,
yeah,
the Bears coach, was Tony Dungy, the
Colts Tony Dungy, absolutely.
Yeah. But, when Kurt Warner was quarterback of the, not just the St. Louis Rams, but then New York Giants and Arizona Cardinals, he played in 3 Super Bowls, won 1 out of the 3. He was at least as open about his faith as Tim Tebow has been, although
And he didn't get near the flack that Tebow did.
No. Now, as far as I recall,
Of course, I don't think that Warner ever wore John 3:16
on his. What do they call those things under the eyes?
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. He. I remember listening to some St. Louis sports talk radio that questioned occasionally whether a Christian would have the competitive fire to succeed at the highest level. And, you know, the fact is that Kurt Warner, in the three Super Bowls in which he played, he had like, at least in terms of passer rating, which is some complex formula they use in the NFL to determine how good a quarterback is, he had like two of the three best passing games ever in Super Bowl history. So I think the answer to that question is yeah. I'm not quite sure what it is about Tim Tebow. I mean, as a quarterback.
What was the question that the answer was yes to?
Does a Christian have the competitive fire to be successful in professional sports?
Oh, yes. Amen.
And there were a number of other St. Louis Rams from that period who were also very openly Christian. Isaac Bruce, who was one of the top wide receivers. Aeneas Williams, who was a defensive back, who was still active in the community, Christian community in the St. Louis area. Mm-hmm. In fact, just heard him doing an ad for Westminster Academy, which is a Christian school that his kids attend. I'm not sure what it is about Tim Tebow that is so polarizing. And it may not be Tim Tebow as much as it is the fact that he has sort of been picked up as a champion by Christians who wanted to take the exciting way in which Tebow and the Broncos won a number of their games this year as evidence of God's favor. The Broncos won four games in overtime this year, including their exciting overtime victory against Pittsburgh in the opening round of the playoffs last week. Now, as a Chicago Bears fan, I would just simply point out that if Marion Barber had just fallen down in bounds on that last running play against Denver, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. But my point is this, that and I think you've already made the point that, you know, does God work that way? I don't know that he does. And I think as Christians, we need to be careful with conflating success in the physical realm with God's favor. Mm-hmm. It may be that the success that the Denver Broncos had this year was intended as a temptation to Tim Tebow. Because with every game that he wins and the fame and the adulation that brings, I mean, fame, adulation, attention, especially as a handsome young man from women, those are not necessarily things conducive to a walk with the Lord.
No. If you take the same person and put that person under the temptation of what Tim Tebow's dealing with, you know, being famous and having lots of people admire you, Christian and non-Christian alike,
right?
Having the opportunity to make money out the wazoo, so to speak, or you take that same person, and put him or her under threat of beheading or hanging or torture or that sort of oppression. Oftentimes, the negative.
Sam's dreaming.
He's oftentimes we're put under pressure where we're persecuted. That actually refines us into a more dedicated believer. But if you are tempted, that oftentimes causes us to stray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why when the Lord is trying to make us a more diligent believer, trying to help us straighten out our walk, trying to do the things that he promised to do, to continue to work in us a good work, that we are put under pressure. We're not given lots of money. We're not given an opportunity to speak to the world, you know, because we're on a famous team or anything like that. We are actually put under some sort of negative pressure. And I think many Christians in the world are under that right now. It may be economic, it may be family, it may be torture, it may be you've lost your job. I think many of our listeners actually are dealing with really tough circumstances right now. So don't think because the Lord, you know, we're told by some that the Lord has shown his favor upon Tebow and others like that who have lots of money because he has showered blessings upon them through money and fame and fortune. Don't think that you're being left out. Don't think that the Lord is no longer looking in your direction, that the Lord no longer loves you and isn't trying to help you to become the best you can be.
Yeah.
those negative circumstances may well be his way to do that for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you look at somebody like a Tim Tebow and say, well, God has blessed him that way. How come, you know, here I am still struggling to make ends meet?
What am I, chopped liver?
Yeah, exactly. Pray for Mr. Tebow. I mean, the young man seems to be genuine, and his parents appear to have done a really good job of grounding this young man so that he has not been swayed into the type of lifestyle that so many confronted with this instant wealth have been lured into. We just pray that the Lord continues to give him strength. But just bear in mind that there are others out there in the National Football League and other professional athletes who are likely just as strong in their faith as Tim Tebow is in his, and maybe just not as overt about it. From what I have heard, I don't know this for a fact, but I understand that Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, is a Bible-believing Christian. But on any given team, on the Denver Broncos, statistically, it just stands to reason that there are at least a number of players who are living lives completely at odds with Christianity. And, how does that factor into God's decision as to who's going to win?
Whether you're famous or not, each one of us has to make our own walk alone.
Exactly. Speaking of, New England kind of ended the train yesterday, so we'll see where it goes from here.
Well, I want to go from there, talking about somebody who is also very well off, has lots of money, and has announced his Christianity, and that is one of the Kuwaiti princes.
That was a really interesting story. Yeah, this is somebody who stands to lose a lot.
Prince Abdullah Al Sabah of Kuwait has come out on a TV channel. It's been reported that he has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he understands that if that means that he is killed for it, that that only means that he will be instantly sent into the presence of Christ.
This is according to an Iranian Christian news agency and a Christian Arabic satellite TV station. Wow, that is...
That would be amazing. I pray that the story is true and that he can be a light to those around him.
Now, and there you're talking about somebody who's really taking a stand that could cost him a lot.
Now, this is based on an audio that was played on the TV channel. The voice in the audio introduced himself as Abdullah Al Sabah, who is a prince in Kuwait, and stated, "First of all, I totally agree with the distribution of this audio file, and I now declare that if they kill me because of this audio file, then I'll go into the presence of Jesus Christ and be with him for all eternity," adding, "I'm satisfied with whatever they do to me because the truth in the Bible has guided me to the right way."
And here in the United States, we think we're being oppressed when the big box store at the mall doesn't display Merry Christmas and puts up Happy Holiday signs instead.
Of course, if you read till the end of this, some independent Shiite websites contradict this report, saying there is no one in the Kuwaiti family by that name. So we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, coming back around to, we can't leave politics alone for too long, since it just affects most every aspect of how we live. We're kind of proceeding toward the, kind of trudging toward the November elections, and struggling with, especially on the conservative side, who we're going to vote for. This is not, not to be mean-spirited here, but I can't imagine. There are no candidates running on the Republican side to really get me excited.
There's no candidate that gets me excited at all.
Yeah. And I think part of that is due to just a simple fact of human nature. Most of the people that we respect, whose judgment and integrity we respect, don't want to put their families through the kind of media circus you have to endure to be the president of the United States. So, somebody like Mitch Daniels, who by all accounts has done a very, very good job of governing the state of Indiana, decided not to run. And, his family had a lot to do with that decision, apparently. So, we look at the United States, and many conservative Christians have been all in favor of the war on terror. I mean, they hit us on 9/11. We need to hit them back. But the sad truth is that the United States is not the same nation it was 10 years ago.
Republican does not equal Christian.
Yeah, exactly right.
Patriot does not equal Christian.
Right. And when you say freedom isn't free, Okay, we understand what that means, but the United States is not the same nation as it was 10 years ago. And some of these things that have changed in the United States over the last 10 years, supposedly to preserve our freedoms, have in fact changed the fundamental nature of this country that they are supposed to preserve and protect.
Yeah.
At what point do we step up and do we look around and realize, hey, we're not free anymore? The Washington Post, interestingly enough, because this is the kind of op-ed piece you'd expect to come from WorldNet Daily mm-hmm. or an alternative media site. But the Washington Post has an op-ed piece published Friday titled 10 Reasons the U.S. is No Longer Land of the Free. And it lists 10 powers that have been acquired by the United States government since 9/11. First and foremost, assassination of U.S. citizens. I'm glad to see this actually acknowledged mm-hmm. in a major media source. President Obama has claimed, as President Bush did before him, the right to order the killing of any citizen considered a terrorist or an abettor of terrorism. Last year, President Obama approved the killing of U.S. citizen Anwar al-Awlaki and another citizen under this claimed inherent authority. Last month, administration officials affirmed that power, stating that the president can order the assassination of any citizen whom he considers allied with terrorists. Meanwhile, the U.S. has criticized nations such as Nigeria, Iran, and Syria for extrajudicial killings of enemies of the state.
Exactly.
It's only bad when they do it because we're the home of the, you know. Second power, indefinite detention. This, of course, was signed into law as part of the National Defense Authorization Act. The military can now arrest and detain American citizens indefinitely if they're suspected of aiding or abetting terrorism. Warrantless searches. The president may now order warrantless surveillance, including a new capability to force companies and organizations to turn over information on finances, communications, and our associations.
Yeah, we can't get the government to do that.
Right, right.
This supposedly, you know, what is the word I want? Transparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the most transparent government in history, according to President Obama, when he was coming in. He has not only, he has basically extended the power for warrantless searches. The government can use what they call national security letters to demand without probable cause that organizations turn over information on citizens. They don't even need a specific reason to ask for our financials or our associations, things like that. The government can use secret evidence to detain individuals and employ secret evidence in trials in federal and military courts.
Oh, that is a really bad one.
Yeah. It can also force the dismissal of cases against the government of the United States. Secret evidence. We can't disclose the evidence because it would be a security risk. War crimes. The world clamored for prosecutions of those responsible for waterboarding terrorism experts, but the Obama administration said in 2009 that would not allow CIA employees to be investigated or prosecuted for such actions. The government now claims the power of secret courts, immunity from judicial review. The Obama administration successfully pushing for immunity for companies that help warrantless surveillance of citizens. This was like lawsuit that was filed against AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
For helping out the National Security Agency, for basically wiretapping the entire country. Continual monitoring of citizens and extraordinary renditions. Government has the ability to transfer both citizens and non-citizens to another country under a system known as extraordinary rendition, which, by the way, we've denounced in other countries such as Syria, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Pakistan. So we don't have to torture citizens. We can just put them on a plane, send them somewhere else, and let them torture them. So these are powers now, 10 powers, 10 reasons the United States is no longer the land of the free. But well, as Christians, yeah, we see this as part of the prophetic move toward a one-world government.
Yes.
I mean, again, trying not too hard, trying to be careful not to read too much from the headlines into prophecy, but it doesn't take a real stretch of the imagination to see how this type of power could be used to consolidate power into a single global government.
Exactly. And we did say the last time we had a show, which was 2 weeks ago, that we would be talking more and more, not only about Bible prophecy, but also about the Mayan prophecies and the Hopi prophecies and many of the other 2012 prophecies that are out there. We will get to that discussion, I hope, the next time we get together. We having gone 2 weeks, there was a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We did discuss it a little bit when we talked about John Major Jenkins and some of the other New Age beliefs, but we'll talk more about that next week. In the meantime, I think we're just about done.
Oh, well, I've got to hit the right buttons here. I'm sorry. There we go.
I'm looking at the clock back there, and I think we've been about an hour.
And you're right. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.